When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, buglers. Welcome to Top Stories. Do you remember Afghanistan? Well, this show does, and in 2008, John Oliver and I, Andy Zaltzman, made the latest events there our top story.
Top story this week, Afghanistan. NATO defence ministers moved quickly this week to dismiss talk of a crisis over the operations in Afghanistan. They were at pains to admit that life in Afghanistan is still vastly better than when under Taliban control, but let's be fair, it's still partly under Taliban control, and anyway, it could scarcely have gotten worse. When you essentially live on a scorched rock under a brutally repressive regime, and you merely remove the brutal part, you still live under a repressive regime, and you still live on a scorched rock, whose major export is the opium poppy. Home sweet home.
Well, it does turn out, according to NATO, that Afghanistan is fine. The rumours that it's been going even more tits up than everyone thought have turned out to be lies. And this emerged on the week that David Miliband and Condoleezza Rice went to Kabul on a kind of political dirty weekend. Apparently they're frustrated at their inability to galvanise their supposed allies to throw more troops at the problem. And the Afghanistani warlocks are exerting an increasingly tight grip around the spluttering jugular of an already out-of-breath nation.
It seems that it's hard to rebuild a place that was never really built in the first place. And in 2001, world leaders assured Afghanistan that we would be with them for the long run. What we didn't realise was quite how long that run would be, or indeed that it ran straight off a cliff. Robert Gates said he thought there was no risk of failure. But in many ways that's true, because you can't fail at something if you don't know what success is. What is success in Afghanistan? No one really knows. Therefore, Afghanistan is approaching an almost Zen state of chaos. There can be neither success or failure. Afghanistan just is. There may be a lesson for Iraq in this new violent offshoot of Buddhism.
But I'm not sure that anyone could really have predicted that this Afghanistan war would prove so difficult. I guess there were some clues that suggested it might be trickier than everyone expected, including A, the first Anglo-Afghan war from 1839 to 1842, reviewed by the critics at the time as an unmitigated disaster. The British retreat of 1842 began with 16,000 people. One man made it, and he had part of his head missing. Clue B, the Soviet-Afghan war from 1979 to 89, which so debilitated the mighty Moscow machine that communism collapsed, exhausted at the end of it, and said, no more, I just want the pain to stop. Or C, any other wars in the history of Afghanistan. Apart from those clues, there was nothing to say it was going to be difficult. It looks easy on a map.
It does, but then that map is sketchy at best.
You do have to assume that the map doesn't have any pictures of mountains on it as well.
There is real suspicion of the British in Afghanistan for many valid reasons which go back hundreds of years. In fact, some Afghan parents reportedly tell their children to be good or the British will get you, as if we're now the equivalent of the boogeyman. Which, historically, of course, we probably are. Their current suspicion is over a $150,000 camp which we've set up to teach insurgents about human rights and the Afghan constitution. It's a rival camp to terrorist camps, and maybe this is where the real battleground lies now. Who has the best camp? We've seen from their videos that they have those swinging monkey bars and scramble nets, so maybe we should get a seesaw, a slide, and a ping pong table. Maybe a campfire to toast marshmallows on. That's always fun. The British know how to organise a good camp, Andy. We can do it here.
It's interesting to see that Afghanistan produces 90% of the world's opium. A record crop is due this year. Opium fans are now hoping that opium can retake its position as the opiate of the masses for the first time since 1844, when it was overtaken by religion, according to then-opiate referee Karl Marx.
It's opium fans is a far nicer way of saying heroin addict, isn't it? He's a die-hard opium fan. Before it was fashionable.
Off and everything. Wrapped round his arm. Needlessly tightly. But more than half of Afghanistan's GDP comes from drugs.
This is a timely reminder, this story, that the Coalition of the Willing, or the Coalition of the Willing Coerced and Misguided, to give us our full title, we're not just about Iraq. Yes, we caused a mess there, but we've caused messes all around the world, which we're receiving little or no credit for. And there has been some finger-pointing from NATO nations, such as the US and Britain, at other NATO nations who've arguably not been doing much to help militarily over there, namely, you've guessed it, France, Italy, Spain, and Germany. And the German Defence Ministry spokesman made a strange comment saying, I think people in Britain should be aware that we lost two world wars and we have a different attitude to the question of soldiers, wars, and blood. It's a really strange thing to say.
Too little, too late.
Yeah, well, not only is that true, but also, let's not compete over who lost the most lives in those two continental meltdowns. It's not a competition. Well, it was, and what a competition it was, but in many ways, the big loser in the first half of the 20th century was humanity.
But Robert Gates, the US Defence Secretary, in between cheering defence, defence, defence at the US infantry in faraway Iraq in an effort to improve military morale, he promised to nag his NATO allies in an effort to get them to pledge more troops. So America's kind of like a domineering wife that it's always wanted to be. It's quite interesting terminology. I think Rumsfeld actually still thinks of the Iraq War as a high-tech and explosive form of nagging. But the problem is, what does nagging generally cause? Resentment. Take that from me, John. That's why my bedroom's untidy. And that's why my tax return's on my desk.
Is that still true?
It is sadly still true.
That was issue 16 of The Bugle. Do catch the full episode in our pod feed now. If you want to support us, we have a massive sale on our merch. Get stuck in at thebuglepodcast.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.